Hello, hello, and welcome once again to another edition of a podcast that we call Things We Said Today. This is a Beatles show that centers around what's going on in the world of the Beatles news-wise. And every single week, there's always something to talk about what's going on with the Beatles, whether it's Paul, Ringo, something posthumous on John or George, or something about the group. Or people in their lives, for that matter. I'm Ken Michaels. I'm one of the co-hosts of this show, best known for the syndicated radio show Every Little Thing, being joined by the man who writes the news and knows more about what's going on news-wise with the Beatles than anybody else on the planet. Oh, I'm building God. You up here, man.
Oh, man. Talk about something to live up to.
That's right. I'm going to make this real difficult for you.
Yes, you are.
Steve Marinucci is with us. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Ken. Hi, everybody.
Our show this time will concern the Grammy Awards, and we're recording the show just a few days after the 55th Grammy Awards telecast, which was on February the 10th of 2013. And in case some of you may not know this, Paul McCartney won... Well, actually, he figures in two Grammys, but the most important one being for Best Traditional Pop Vocal Album for Kisses on the Bottom. And in addition to that, he's part of an album that Jimmy Fallon released called Blow Your Pants Off, which has material taken from his TV show. And Paul was on last year, and they did a duet of sorts, doing their own spoof on Yesterday, using the original lyrics, or the original title of Scrambled Eggs. And that won Best Comedy Album. And Paul was on that. So in his own way, Paul figured in two Grammy Awards. But we're mainly going to talk about the fact that he won this award. And then I thought it would be really interesting, we both thought it would be interesting, if we would reflect back on the Grammy Awards in the past and discuss whether or not we think the Beatles have been treated fairly through the years with Grammy Awards, whether as a group or in their solo careers. So first of all, just very quickly, Steve, your thoughts about Paul winning Best Traditional Pop Vocal Album?
Well, he didn't have a whole lot of competition in that category. He had there were two Christmas albums, Michael Bublé and Carole King. And so,
Bublé,
excuse me. And so his chances of winning that award were... pretty good. I mean, it was going to be hard for him not to win that, and he did. So I'm not totally surprised. I think you could have put money on that one in Atlantic City or in Vegas and made some money easily if the odds were halfway decent.
Well, you never know. I mean, the industry does like Carole King. She mm-hmm. is one of the greatest artists and songwriters of all time, and Michael Bublé is also a favorite. So I wouldn't say it was, an automatic win.
Yeah, but neither of those albums really had the impact that Kisses on the Bottom did. Even though Kisses wasn't a huge, huge hit, I mean, it had a big splash with the Live Kisses PBS thing, and it was going to be pretty hard not for that thing to win.
Well, actually, it went top 10 on the album charts, and it also made number one on the jazz charts.
Right.
Which was a new thing for Paul.
Right.
That territory right there.
Right.
So it did make some splash. I don't know how much of an impact, because he's pretty much following what a lot of artists like Rod Stewart have been doing recently. And we all know Ringo did it in 1970 and doesn't get enough credit for it.
No.
But I, for one, am very pleased that he won. I'm happy whenever any of the Beatles win a Grammy Award.
And to compare, after all this time, to compare Kisses to what Rod Stewart has done, Kisses is much better, is much easier to take than what Rod Stewart has done. I still kind of grimace every time I hear Rod Stewart singing some of those songs, and especially hearing this Christmas that he went and did Christmas songs. That really was hard to take.
Hmm.
But, I mean, it's making him money, so you can't complain too much. But I think that Kisses was well done. I think
it was a well-executed album, great musicianship, great arrangements. Everything about it was just wonderful.
And I'm curious as to whether he's going to do a follow-up.
I hope he does. We just know that from all that we're hearing, he's about to make another pop album next. So if anything, it won't even happen till after that. So why don't we talk about the Grammy Awards of the past and how the Beatles have fared group and solo-wise. And before we even discuss that, I just want to commend you because many years ago, going back to when you had your Abbey Road website, you put together a list of all the Grammy Awards the Beatles received. And not only that, but what some might find even more interesting is when they were nominated and lost. And you'd be surprised how many times the Beatles lost, group and solo-wise, through the years.
Oh, yeah.
And it's really fascinating to look at all that stuff. And, you know, there are a lot of people, I suppose you just, as you get older, in the case of a lot of friends of mine, they get very cynical about award shows. I mean, the Grammy Awards don't mean as much to me as they did when I was younger. I look forward to watching the Grammy Awards every single year. And a lot of that had to do with the simple fact that the people who were up there being nominated were people that I was following at the time. And that doesn't mean that the new artists of today I'm not following. I do follow some new music, so I look forward to hearing some of the new artists. But I tend to watch the Grammy Awards and root for the veterans. And not just Paul here, but when someone comes up on stage, like Elton John, for example, and they do that tribute to Levon Helm, I look forward to things like that. So I always enjoy the Grammys from the perspective of looking forward to the performances. I may not know all the music, but I don't know if the Grammy Awards mean as much to me now as they once did. And, you know, a lot of that just has to do with the fact that I don't know if the music of today and the current artists of today, if that music will have the kind of longevity and sustaining power of the music that I grew up with. So, but we may be trailing off on a subject there. But as far as the awards that the Beatles have won and not won, tell me from your own perspective how well you think the Beatles have done, Steve.
I think their standing has improved over time. I think in the beginning, a lot of what happened was dictated by the way the industry was at the time. And, you know, in 64, it was an adult-oriented industry. It was run by old men who really didn't care much about these young upstarts. And although the Beatles did get some awards in their early years, there was a lot they didn't get, an astonishing number of awards that they didn't get. And also, what's really more telling is some of the people they lost too. You can really, I mean, it's just absolutely astounding when you think of who they lost to in some of those early years. But the fact, number one, that they did come through with Best New Artist in 64 against Petula Clark, Antonio Carlos Jobim, and Astor Gilberto and Morgana King, who I think is, that's, I think, when I see Morgana King's name, I think of The Godfather. I think that's amazing. But they at least got that. They got also a best performance by a vocal group for A Hard Day's Night, which was kind of interesting that they got that.
Hmm.
But they also, there were also a couple they didn't get that year. They didn't get Record of the Year for I Want to Hold Your Hand. They lost to Get Some Gilberto for Girl from Ipanema. They didn't get the Songwriters Award for A Hard Day's Night. They lost to Hello, Dolly. They didn't get the Best Rock and Roll Recording. They lost to, of all things, Petula Clark, Downtown. Rock and Roll,
well,
Downtown.
You know, for many years, and this is not just the 60s, there was always this general feeling that the artists who won these awards were safer artists, more mainstream, more pop-oriented. So it doesn't surprise me, and because of the fact that I have very wide, eclectic tastes, I'm not necessarily offended by some of these other artists that won. I mean, if the Beatles are up against Frank Sinatra, and Sinatra happens to win, which he did several times against
which
the Beatles.
Which he did first in 65, he did against them twice.
Yeah. I mean, this is Frank Sinatra you're talking about. So it doesn't bother me as much when it's someone that's so iconic and so important to our culture. You know, I don't know. It just, it doesn't bother me. Although, you know, being the big Beatle fan that I am and that you are, I'm sure that you wish that every time they were nominated, they would win. you probably think that their music might have been better than the other artists. And you have to, you always have to weigh it against what was also nominated at that time. And, you know, when you're talking about certain songs like The Girl from Ipanema won one particular year, that's a great song. And it's
that was in 64,
It's not only a great pop song, it's become a standard and a great song in the jazz field. So it's I don't really, it doesn't bother me that much when the Beatles lose to an artist that has really made an impact on our culture and is extremely talented and has endured through the years, and the same thing with a particular song. I mean, I want to just bring up this one particular time. I was curious because I didn't remember whether or not All Things Must Pass, the album, had been nominated, and it was.
It was.
For Album of the Year, and it lost out to Carole King's Tapestry. Now, I would have been thrilled if All Things Must Pass had won, but this is Tapestry you're talking about, which is an iconic...
Which was one of the biggest records of the 70s. I mean,
of
the
all
whole
time.
Decade.
You know, it was an album that was known for staying on the charts forever.
Sure.
So, you know, you're talking about Carole King here. So that doesn't bother me at all.
Yeah, but, it's hard to argue against the Carole King thing. But then I guess the best example of all time is 1966, Best Contemporary Rock and Roll Recording, when both Eleanor Rigby and Good Vibrations lost to the new vaudeville band's Winchester Cathedral.
See, I wouldn't have voted for that. I like Winchester Cathedral, but
so did
it's
I,
not.
So did
it's,
I actually.
You know,
I have to admit that in '66 I was a big fan. In fact, I had bought both of their vinyl albums back then. I was a big, well, so was Paul McCartney for that matter. I mean, Honey Pie. You know, I mean, he liked that kind of music too.
He loves that kind of music.
Right.
So,
that was kind of amusing that, I mean, that's one of the big examples that everybody brings up is, you know, you got two great songs, Eleanor Rigby and Good Vibrations, and they both lost.
Hmm.
And where is Winchester Cathedral today?
Well, you can still hear it once in a while
on an
oldie station.
Yeah.
But there's another case of going with a safer song than something that was very innovative at the time.
Whether you're talking about Eleanor Rigby. I suppose that's the best example of that. It's hard to, I don't know, I guess maybe in light of, Eleanor Rigby is not what you would call an edgy song.
No.
Good Vibrations, yes.
But it was very different for its time. There's no other song that came out at that time like Eleanor Rigby.
No, you had, I mean, you
on
had
a pop album
the,
or a
Strangers
rock album?
In the Night, you had.
But for a rock band to put out something with that classical a feel, and I know they did Yesterday before that, but that was very striking. To have that much classical overtones on a record and on a pop record and a single for that time.
I gotta disagree with you there because I think if Yesterday paved the way for that, like you just said.
Right.
And for Eleanor Rigby not to take that an award in that particular case against both New Vaudeville Band, which they lost Best Contemporary Rock and Roll Recording, and also against Sinatra. Now, I can understand them not winning against Sinatra, against Strangers in the Night, because that's a great song. And Sinatra, you know, is a great vocalist. There's no getting around that.
Yeah, I agree with you.
But New Vaudeville Band, I can't really argue for that at all. Not on a safe basis. It's really just kind of tough. I realize that in 66, things are, you know, music was different than it is now. And that was kind of, I remember they were on Ed Sullivan and they did their whole act with the megaphones and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I remember that. And they were all dressed up in 1920s outfits or, you know, in old outfits. And they played that to the hilt. And the adults loved that. And, yeah, it really, in the shadow of history, that just doesn't make it as far as I'm concerned. It really doesn't.
All right. Well, I agree with you there. But I do believe that songs like Yesterday and Eleanor Rigby were very different for its time. And that doesn't mean, I mean, you do have pop songs like what Sinatra was doing, which had a full orchestra with it.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very good year, a masterpiece of a song there. But we're talking about something that was for, first of all, a rock band, and just nothing more than voices and strings. You know, Eleanor Rigby was so different for that reason, as was Yesterday, which had an acoustic guitar. Yesterday deserved to win, to me, Song of the Year. Which brings me to another point I want to bring up, which is when I look at all the awards the Beatles received as a group, mm-hmm. I find it really shocking. First of all, they only won Song of the Year once. And the song they won it with, which I have no doubt, I definitely love the song, like I love so many Beatles songs, happened to be Michelle. That is the only time the Beatles ever won Song of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a great song. It's one of the most covered Beatles songs. It's a song that got played so much at the time, and it's a very, you know, the melody is very unique. The chord changes are unique. Paul deserves a lot of credit for writing that song. But there's so many other great songs the Beatles did, and yet that's the only one that was ever Song of the Year. And that just amazes me. But then again, you also have to look at the other music coming out at that time and what was nominated.
I mean, that brings up the point that you were just making about Eleanor Rigby. I mean, if Michelle can win, why not Eleanor Rigby?
Right.
Why not Yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
That does not make any sense whatsoever. In fact, if you compare Michelle and Yesterday and Eleanor Rigby, I think if I was to rank those three, I think I'd put Michelle third. I think Yesterday is the best of the three, and I think Eleanor Rigby is second.
I don't know. It's hard for me to compare. I love all of them.
No, I do too, but I'm saying in terms of the songs themselves, I think, thinking about it, I there's so much. Yesterday was incredibly innovative for that, not only for them, but for music in general. And Michelle and Eleanor Rigby was, with all the, you know, the string arrangements and everything, I mean, that was astounding. And Michelle was a little more traditional. And I think the fact that Michelle wins and the other two don't is kind of silly. It really is.
I don't know. It's just, I love all three. It's really tough for me to pick what the best of those three were. But the thing is, you also have to realize that when you're dealing with Song of the Year or Record of the Year, you're dealing strictly with singles. And actually, this also makes me wonder, because Michelle was never a Beatles single. It got played a lot because it was a popular album cut, and actually there was a duo, David and Jonathan, that had a hit with it here in the States.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's kind of surprising to me that was chosen as Song of the Year. There's so many other great songs the Beatles did that were singles that could have been Song of the Year, and that's the only one. And likewise, when you're talking about Album of the Year, the only Beatles album that won Album of the Year was Sgt. Pepper,
mm-hmm.
which is a shame. And for those people that don't know, and this is really interesting, Revolver was nominated for Album of the Year. And you have to be thinking, by the way, the American Revolver. And Magical Mystery Tour was nominated as Album of the Year and didn't win. And, well, first of all, the White Album wasn't even nominated.
Mm-hmm.
And Abbey Road was nominated but didn't win.
Which is absolutely, wow.
It lost to Blood, Sweat, and Tears.
Yes, it did.
So, and Magical Mystery Tour lost to Glen Campbell by the time I get to Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
So, let me just check to what Revolver lost to. Lost to Frank Sinatra, A Man and His Music.
Yeah. I mean, some of these things are flabbergasting. You know, what they ended up losing to. It's like, it was crazy. It was absolutely crazy. Penny Lane never got Song of the Year. Penny Lane never got Song of the Year.
Uh-huh.
It never even got nominated. I mean, that's amazing. How could that have not happened?
Well, Hey Jude didn't get Song of the Year. You know, if you study this through the years, not just the group with the solo, it's amazing how many times Paul Simon beats out the Beatles or Simon and Garfunkel.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, 68, it was all about Mrs. Robinson. And that was winning a lot of awards. Although Song of the Year was Bobby Russell. He was the songwriter for Little Green Apples, which was done by O.C. Smith as the singer. But it's pretty remarkable how many times the Beatles lost. So they won a lot of awards, don't get me wrong, through the years, but they lost so many that would shock you. But then again, you know, a lot of the ones that did win are wonderful records. Some of them I wouldn't argue at all. You know, Strangers in the Night wins, I don't mind. Fifth Dimension winning Up, Up, and Away. I think the Fifth Dimension were a fantastic vocal group. That was up against best performance by a vocal group for Sgt. Pepper for the Beatles. I mean, Sgt. Pepper is a more landmark, important, historic recording than Up, Up, and Away, but that was a great performance from the Fifth Dimension and a great song.
Right.
So what are you going to do? But overall, how do you feel the Beatles have been treated? Do you think that, for the most part, they did okay?
Well, you'd have to, I mean, it's not, I mean, I don't think the Beatles are any different than anybody else. They've been nominated a lot more times than they've won. I mean, that's just the way things go. But they have won for some great things. I mean, Bangladesh won Album of the Year. I mean,
right.
That's really fantastic.
Absolutely.
Live and Let Die won Best Arrangement. That's really good.
But, you know, you just mentioned the concert for Bangladesh winning Album of the Year. That and Double Fantasy are the only two solo Beatle albums that have ever won Album of the Year. And mm-hmm. that is shocking to me because there have been so many great albums, solo albums through the years.
Right.
And like we just mentioned, All Things Must Pass, losing to Carole King, Paul McCartney and Wings, Band on the Run, was nominated for Album of the Year, lost to Stevie Wonder, fulfilling his first finale. That doesn't bother me at all because Stevie Wonder, to me, is one of the greatest artists of all time, and what he was putting out in the 70s was just incredible music.
Tug of War lost to Toto.
That I had a problem with. Now, I love Toto, and I love the production on Toto's records, and they had four big hits on that album, Toto 4, but Tug of War is one particular exception when I think Paul really deserved it.
Right.
He was also nominated for Best Album of Chaos and Creation in the Backyard, and he lost out there. He lost out to, I believe it was U2. I got to look that up here. But
I believe you're right.
Yes, How to Dismantle an Atomic Bomb. Mm-hmm. He lost there. So, you know, Paul has lost quite a lot. You know what I find really interesting in observing with the solo careers of the Beatles? Mm. First of all, John was never nominated for any of his music before he died. None of his solo music was ever nominated for anything. And
yeah,
I find
that
to be
pretty
shocking.
That's pretty terrible. That's really...
I can understand Plastic Ono Band not being nominated. Now, that's a great album, mm-hmm. but I think that it was a little too shocking for its time. It was ahead of its time.
Right.
It was way too bare, was too intimate, way too raw. I think the Academy would have had a tough time trying to make that Album of the Year. But I can't see why an album like Imagine wasn't at least nominated.
Right.
And in the case of George Harrison, after All Things Must Pass and the concert for Bangladesh, he wasn't nominated for anything until The Traveling Wilburys. You know, not even Cloud Nine was nominated for Album
at
of
least,
the Year.
At least Wilburys got nominated. But yeah, Cloud Nine is such a fantastic album. To this day, that is one of my all-time favorite albums. I mm-hmm. love that album.
But and in the case of Ringo, he never was nominated for any of his albums. And I think that might not shock people, but I do think that the Ringo album at least deserved a nomination.
Well, he did get the 5-1 the surround sound nomination that he lost. But yeah, when he was coming up through his solo career, the Ringo album didn't get nominated. None of those really, you know, those really good Ringo albums. Ringo's just kind of all around gotten very little respect, and it's really kind of sad.
I know. He's like the Rodney Dangerfield of rock.
Yes.
In a lot of ways. And, you know, I've said this before on our show, but in 1992, he put out Time Takes Time, and I think that the albums that he's put out from that moment on, especially the albums with Mark Hudson and the Roundheads, are amongst the best of his career, and I wish that somebody would acknowledge that. And I'm not saying that it should win Album of the Year, but it should maybe get a nomination here and there. But a lot of people just don't take his solo music seriously.
Well, he doesn't he doesn't really take his solo stuff that seriously because in concert he talks about you know, the six people who bought his album.
I don't know. I think that must hurt him inside.
It probably
because
does.
He does put the effort in on his albums, and he wouldn't do that if he didn't care.
And then he takes out and goes out on tour and plays songs from those albums like he is now.
Yeah.
At this moment, you know, so, yeah.
And then in the case of Paul McCartney, the interesting thing about Paul, if you notice, all the awards that he's either won or have been nominated for, they're not for his songwriting. I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but he either gets nominated for his vocals or for the arrangements of his songs.
Right.
That's something that I find a little bit bizarre. You know, he's one of the greatest songwriters of all time.
Well, he did get nominated for a song written for a motion picture in 2002 for Vanilla Sky.
That's true.
But that lost to Randy Newman. And I have to say, as a big Randy Newman fan, I have no problem with that because I'm a huge Randy Newman fan. Vanilla Sky wasn't that great a song anyway, really, in the scheme of things.
Oh, I liked it. But, you know, he's done a lot better than Vanilla Sky, but
true.
I do like that song. But you look at the awards that Paul's gotten through the years. Let's see. We got Best Arrangement Accompanying Vocalist for Live and Let Die, with George Martin getting the award as arranger.
Mm-hmm.
Best Engineered Recording for Paul McCartney and Wings, Band on the Run, with Jeff Emmerich getting an award as engineer. He actually won Best Instrumental Recording for the Rockestra theme.
Which is really interesting. That's not a song I would have even expected him to win for.
I'd love that as an instrumental. And it's got such a great edge to it. It's a simple
it does.
Instrumental, but I love it.
Yeah, it does. You're right. And hopefully he'll put out the Campuchia thing again, because they do that live in there. And it'd be nice to see that again.
Hmm. Also, in 2011, he won for Best Solo Rock Vocal Performance for Helter Skelter from Good Evening New York City.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we're talking vocals or we're talking about production and arrangements?
And that was a pretty lively version, the Good Evening New York City version.
Right. But, so. You know, I would strongly advise anyone who's interested in the Grammy Awards and how the Beatles have fared through the years to look at this list that Steve has put together, and all you got to do really is just Google Beatles and Grammy Awards, and you'll see a link for Examiner.com. Bring it up, and it's all there.
No, it's not on Examiner now. This is on my Abbey Road site.
I brought it up today, right before coming here, right before doing this show,
mm-hmm.
And I was able to get the whole list.
Oh, okay. Well, I may have. I think I linked off of one of the stories I did the other day, but. The actual list is not actually on Examiner. It is linked from Examiner though. But yeah, I mean it's amazing some of the stuff that they've won and some of the stuff they haven't won. You know, you just kind of shake your head. And like I was saying, a lot of the way things fared, especially in the 60s, was pretty much because the industry at that time wasn't controlled by young people, it was controlled by older people. And I think a lot of the voters were older people at that point, and obviously that's changed now.
Hmm.
You know, the industry is run by young people, and as you can tell by a lot of what gets nominated and a lot of what wins, there's a strong youth contingent in the vote, and that wasn't the case in the 60s at all. Rock and roll was an old man's game in the 60s.
Well, yeah. I don't know if rock and roll had the credibility yet. I mean, rock and roll, for all intents and purposes, started in the mid-50s, and
right.
Artists had the feeling that their careers would only last a few years. In fact, the Beatles thought that way when they first started out.
Mm-hmm.
There's always, and I bring it up every now and then, the interview of the four of them around 1963, where John's saying, we could be big-headed and say we're going to last for 5 years. And
right.
In their minds, 5 years was a long time.
Right.
So, you know, I think there was always that feeling amongst the adults that this is a passing thing and it's not going to last that long. And it became such an economically viable genre of music. And, you know, artists like the Beatles helped to make it the respectable genre that it is.
Right. Right. And yeah, and they really had more of an impact. I mean, you can say that, but the real effect was a lot stronger, I think, than most people realize. The Beatles did have a heck of an impact on the industry, and they really changed the course of the Grammy Awards and the industry itself. And there's no getting around that. I'm not just saying that because, you know, I like the Beatles. I mean, it really was true. And when you went through the 60s and you saw how things changed, and by the 70s, you know, things had really matured, it was because of the Beatles. It was very much because of the Beatles. There's no question about that.
Hmm. So overall, you know, I'm pleased with the awards the Beatles have gotten. And they're, obviously, every artist loses. But it is kind of staggering when you do look at this list at how many times the Beatles were nominated, group and solo, and lost out. And I think anyone who looks at this list will be very surprised.
You can say, yeah, they won a lot of times and they lost a lot of times, but I still think there's some gaping mistakes that I think the record industry would probably like to take back if they could. And I don't think, you know, obviously they can't, but I think they would if they could.
Well, the thing is, you know, you got to put yourself in the mindset of that time period.
I know.
Not thinking 40 years later that this catalog of what the Beatles did as a band and a lot of their solo music is going to be looked upon as being such treasured, iconic songs and albums.
Right.
If they knew that then, they probably would have voted things differently.
Right.
But
and
you
it really
can only do
up,
what happens in the moment.
It really points up to the fact of what the whole industry was like back then. It really is an excellent picture of the way the industry was and why things were the way they were. So you can, I mean, that's just the way it was. It's history now, and to look back on it, I'm glad it's not that way anymore because music is that much better for the way it is now. It was a much different scene. Anybody that remembers, you know, that was around in 64 will know that very well. It was a much different scene back then.
And actually, just one final thing. One thing that the Grammys have done in recent years is that they've had their own Hall of Fame.
Right.
So they've been able to induct certain songs and certain albums from the Beatles and put it in there. Because they probably, you'd have to say, they overlooked a lot of that work back then.
And the Beatles have a good chunk of that Hall of Fame. Pepper is in there. Abbey Road is in there. Revolver is in there.
Imagine.
Rubber Soul, Imagine. Yeah. I was going
imagine
through the Beatles,
song. Yeah.
The Beatles albums first.
Right.
White Album, Let It Be. And then a number of singles. Penny Lane, Let It Be. Meet the Beatles is also there. Joe Cocker's With a Little Help from My Friends is there, which I think is kind of funny, actually.
Some people look at that as being the definitive version. You know, I love it, but you can't top the Beatles version.
No.
For me, anyway.
No, you can't. I like that, too. As a matter of fact, I was listening to Mad Dogs and Englishmen the other day, which is an incredible album. That's a fantastic album.
Right.
They've done really well. The one big thing that they need to correct, the only Beatle that's not in the Hall of Fame is Ringo, and that's got to change. That's not a Grammy thing, though, but, I mean, that's got to change. There's no excuse for that.
Let's start a movement going, Steve.
We could do that. We could start a petition online like is going for a couple of other people. I know there's a friend of mine that's got a Jim Croce petition in the works.
I already signed that petition, too.
Yeah, I did, too. I did too.
And we all know Martin Lewis has been trying to get Brian Epstein.
Yeah, that's amazing that hasn't happened. I don't understand that at all.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand that at all. But maybe when the movies come out that are in the works, maybe that'll change that, hopefully. But yeah, I mean, that's crazy that hasn't happened.
Anyway, we've got to bring this show to a close. And we just want to thank everybody for listening, and thanks to fab4radio.com for carrying our show. And if you want to get in touch with us, there's a million different ways to do so, but
million.
We're just going to mention a few of them. First of all, Steve, tell folks so they can get in touch with you?
Well, you can get in touch with me on Facebook under my name. The show has its own page, Things We Said Today. You can email me at BeatlesExaminer@gmail.com. You can also, on the Examiner page, you can on the Examiner site, you can look up Beatles Examiner and find me. I'm practically everywhere. I'm on Twitter under my own name, and so you can catch me there. I'm just about everywhere. And Ken, you're all over the place too.
Well, not as much as you. There's my website, which is kenmichaelsradio.com. There's lots of interviews in there with people connected to the Beatles, and there's trivia posted every single week with lots of prizes to give away. I sound like my other show, Every Little Thing.
Yes, you do.
And there's my own Facebook page, which is Ken Michaels. And so those are the only ways at the moment. I'm going to have a Facebook page soon for the show, Every Little Thing.
Okay.
So look out for that.
One more Grammy win that we didn't catch, this is kind of offbeat, is on the page I have covers of Beatles songs that have won Grammy Awards, and the one that is really that really sticks out is the Chipmunks Sing the Beatles, which is, if you haven't heard that, it's hilarious, and it's on CD. I know it's on CD. It's well worth picking up if you don't have it.
And that won.
And that did win Best Engineered Album, Special or Novel Effects at 1 in 64.
Well, that makes sense. You know, that wins, and the White Album doesn't even get nominated.
Right.
And Tug of War doesn't win.
Right, I know.
And Chaos and Creation doesn't win. No, but the Chipmunks win.
The Chipmunks win. It's crazy.
So anyway, thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
We'll see you next time. Take care.